Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home, until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Today's sermon is titled, Faith Living, Faith Giving. I will answer the question, what is faith living? What is the difference between living by faith and our initial faith in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? The New Testament authors give us an important clue about how to live by faith as strangers in the world today. They keep pointing us to the Israelites' poor example of living by faith in the wilderness under Moses, after they were miraculously delivered out of Egypt by the hand of God. The Holy Spirit is telling New Testament believers not to fall into the same example of unbelief as the Israelites. The Israelites' unbelief started after they initially believed Moses by putting the blood of the unblemished lamb upon the doorposts of their houses. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as Paul is writing to the Gentile church in Corinth, and I emphasize the Gentile church. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This stern warning that takes us back to the Old Testament is repeated several times in the New Testament for our admonition. The admonition is to the believer, not the lost man. Almost the entire adult generation of Israel failed to enter the Promised Land because of their constant murmuring, fornication, idolatry, and tempting the Lord. They were delivered out of Egypt. However, they failed to enter Canaan land except for Caleb and Joshua. The New Testament Canaan land, or Promised Land, is the millennial kingdom of God. The 1,000-year kingdom that Christ will establish when he returns to this earth. Remember what the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy kingdom come." The honor to rule and reign with Christ in his earthly kingdom and to attain a crown is a privilege to those only who live faithfully after they initially put the blood of the unblemished Lamb of God upon the doorposts of their heart. Eternal life on the new earth, in a new created heaven, after the old is passed away, and which we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, is a gift received by our initial faith in the work of Christ on Calvary. The millennial kingdom, however, is a reward based upon our faith living as pilgrims in this current world upon this current terrestrial globe. The Israelites failed in living by faith after they initially believed Moses and being eyewitnesses to the amazing miracles of God and his utter destruction of Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire. Believers in Christ are called upon to walk by faith, not by sight. So enjoy today's sermon as these things are explained further. Faith Living, Faith Giving, Part 4.
We've dealt with Roman numeral 1, but we'll just review it a little bit here. We talk about your initial faith, but here in Galatians, and we see it two other times in the New Testament, and there is a quote from the Old Testament. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. So you find that in four places in the scripture. The just shall live by faith. And that's living faith. Faith living. And we have to understand. We learned here that our initial faith in the salvation of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in what the gift that that Jesus provides to us through his death, burial, and resurrection, that initial faith, there's no works to attain that. Christ did all the work on the cross of Calvary. He did that work. We just believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the blood, the bread, that represented the body that we spoke of last week in the communion service. We take that in by faith. And that guarantees every one of us who believes that eternal salvation. That guarantees us protection from being damned for all eternity. That gives us the eternal kingdom. Now the Lord puts out there for us, and that's part of the name of Crown of Life Baptist Church, is now that you're saved, now go and try to attain to the crown. That's the prize. Reach the prize. It's one of our slogans on our website and our literature is, God is calling sinners to the cross and he's calling believers to the crown. And the attainment is now that you have the general resurrection, that you'll stand at you'll be in the eternal kingdom. Now attain the crown so you can join me, Jesus is speaking, you can join me to sit on my throne here on this earth. That's the millennial kingdom. That will be on this earth where Jesus will rule and reign. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. There will be nations, and there will be people who will be born, and there will be people who will die. But we as believers in this dispensation will rule with Christ in our glorified bodies, wearing crowns, and he will give us rulership over cities and nations throughout the world. And it will be a gorgeous time. But the Bible tells us he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and those who rule with him will rule with a rod of iron. So we have to know how, we have to know the word of God, what God requires us to do in our lives and obey God's law. We're going to have to bring discipline to those who commit adultery, to those who get involved in thievery. We're going to have to discipline in that period of time. But he's going to bring nations in, and there's going to be marriage, and there's going to be birth, and there's going to be death. Now, people are going to live longer during that millennial reign. It's going to be just like before the flood. It's going to be just sickness and disease will be very minimal. One way to really fight the COVID and all the diseases that are out there, if God elevated the percentage of oxygen in this room to, it's 21%, a little over 21% oxygen in this room. In the whole earth, we live in an oxygen level of 21% at basically sea level. During the flood, there was more oxygen in the air. There was more oxygen. Before the flood, there was more oxygen. More oxygen does what? It makes your cells healthier. Okay? It makes your cells healthier. Football players, NFL football teams have learned this principle and helped their players heal from injuries by putting them in a hyperbolic chamber, where they increase the level of oxygen, and they say that the level could have been at least 30% oxygen in the air before the flood, and increase the air pressure. One number that has stuck in my brain from my science days is 14.7 psi, pounds per square inch, of air pressure on your body. In a hyperbolic chamber, they increase that pressure. They may double it to 30 psi. That pushes that air into your blood supply, into your bloodstream, and gives you more oxygen. You oxygenate your body, and your cells are going to be healthy, your immune systems are going to be healthy, and you're going to rid and kill bacteria and viruses. What is the big push in the health industry today? Detoxifying your body and giving more oxygen, oxygenating your blood, finding ways to give better oxygen supply to your cells to help build up your antibodies to fight off and ward off against viruses and bacteria. And so there is this aspect of us now trying to attain to the crown. And so that's faith living. It says here in Colossians, we read, if ye continue in the faith, that's the big part. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We see this thread throughout the scriptures of continuing, enduring, and in the faith, and so there's so many aspects to this continuing. So if the Bible says, and Paul admonishes us to continue in the faith, is there the possibility then of not somebody who's a believer not continuing in the faith? A lost person can't continue in the faith. It has to be a saved person. And so there's this effort that we have to put into our lives that we want to continue in the faith, in that hope of the gospel, the hope of the return of Christ, the hope of the first resurrection, the hope of hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? And Jesus says, he says to those servants that are faithful, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And he gives them kingdoms to rule over, and they will receive a crown. And so there's that aspect. So in Roman numeral 2, in our notes here, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and was a symbol of the work of faith. Now, Melchizedek, we're going to learn who Melchizedek is. He's mentioned very briefly in the scriptures, in the book of Moses' writings. Believers in Christ are children of Abraham. "For what saith the scriptures?" This comes from the book of Romans, chapter 4. "For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised." His faith occurred before he was circumcised. Circumcision for the male in the line of Hebrew children, starting with Abraham, was implemented as a seal of their faith and being a child of Abraham. That's Old Testament law. But it says he was uncircumcised because God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. God called him, he was an Assyrian, that God called and brought down from Haran, which it would have been near Damascus, to come and be a pilgrim, to be a transient, to be a dweller of tents, to live in the promised land long before it was given to his descendants. But God made that promise to Abraham that he would give it to. And so the righteousness of faith that he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. You and I believe there's not a Jew in the room, you and I are called the uncircumcised. We're Gentiles. The Gentiles. The circumcised, when it's used as a group of people, it's speaking of the Jews. So it says, the father of, well, let's go. Though they be not uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only. So the circumcision is the Jews who were specifically biological descendants of Abraham, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. We become children of Abraham. We are the spiritual children of Abraham in the Bible. We are not the biological descendants of Abraham, but we are spiritually adopted into the family. Which, so it says here, and I'm keep interrupting myself, injecting other thoughts here, but who also walked in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So the heir of the world, He should be the heir of the world. Are we the heir of the world today? Is Abraham, are the Jews the heir of the world today? No, there's a world coming. The world to come. Thy kingdom come, thy world, what is it? Thy will be done. I was trying to get the word world in there. But thy kingdom come. There's a new world coming in the Lord's Prayer. There's a new world. It's the world to come. We're not heirs. That's a promise that's even made to us. It's a prophecy of something to come. Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, it is of faith that ye might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Paul is telling you, us all means all believers, all those who believe and trust in the Lord are the children of Abraham. He's our father. He's our a spiritual guide in a sense. He's not our heavenly father, but we are adopted into the promises that were made to Abraham, and we're going to receive the same promises if we continue in that faith. It says here in Galatians, Paul repeated it again to the Galatian church. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, counted unto righteousness. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, you believe. Your sins are forgiven. Your past sins are forgiven. Your sinful nature has been reformed in a sense. You are now a child of God by faith, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed upon you, and your sins were imputed upon him on the cross of Calvary. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, did not Abraham's biological seed walk away? Did not the Jews not obey? So that is the same for the spiritual seed. For us, we could be the same. We can walk away. That's what Elvis did. He walked away. He walked away. Hence, being the children of Abraham, believers must do the works of Abraham. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 8. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Notice who he's speaking to. From chapter 8, verse 31, he never changes the narrative of who he is directing his conversation to. Jesus, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. The Bible is very specific. The Jews that believed on him. Here it is. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. See, not every believer is a disciple. Only those who continue, those who forsake everything. Just like Apostle Paul counted all things but dung in his life, his earthly possessions, his earthly titles. He counted those things but dung that he may win Christ. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. Who is their father? The devil. Right, the devil. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children. Now they are Abraham's children biologically, but not by faith. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But ye now seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. And so Abraham obeyed God and did the truths that were found in the Word of God, and did not bring, understood who the Messiah was. But he's saying, you know, you're doing the deeds of the devil. If ye continue in my word. So they were not continuing in his word. Abraham would have recognized Jesus Christ. If he was on earth, he would have recognized that he was the Messiah. Our inheritance into God's millennial kingdom hinges on our faith living in the good works ordained of God that we read in Ephesians 2:10. And you can see that in the beginning of your notes here. I believe I have Ephesians 2:10 written out for you. And for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So now as we continue in the faith, we're to do these good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.